Backseat Producers, episode 151, Psycho.
And this is Daryl.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Oh, man, we got to get the psycho thing. I'm like bursting at the seams with psycho talk.
So okay.
He's psycho.
All right. Let's jump into it. What did you think?
Next week we're doing... Does it even matter? Next week we're doing Dark City and...
And or The Matrix.
Yeah. Probably and.
All
right. So every 50s man sounds exactly the same to me. Every guy in the movie sounded exactly the same. And I'm like, was this guy the cop? Oh, no, this is a different guy. Was this the guy she was sleeping with in the beginning of the movie? No, this is the innkeeper guy now. They all sound exactly the same.
I don't know. I thought Anthony Perkins sounded different. Because he was a little off.
He was the awesome thing about his being a little off is, like, he'll talk and then he'll kind of, like, giggle and then keep talking.
Yeah.
There's a guy in my office who has that exact same mannerism.
Oh
my
wow.
God, this is awesome.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Yeah. Just don't let him in the shower with you.
Alright, so aside from that, what did you think of the movie?
I thought this movie would probably have been great in 1968 or 58 or whenever it was released.
60.
It was 1960. This is the 50th Whatever. Anniversary.
What? Okay, fine. 1960. But... other than that, I enjoyed the movie, despite the fact that it's like a 3-part movie.
Despite the fact?
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean there's 3 stories, or...?
No, it's like a 3-part movie. Like, yeah. Okay, so the first part of the movie...
Yeah, I agree completely with what you say, and I like it because of that.
I like it despite that.
And that's fair. We'll talk about that.
I wasn't really that gripped by it. I mean, it's been talked about for so many years, and never no surprises for me.
There were surprises for me. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I'm curious to talk about that, too, your perspective on that. Because you kind of came into this as a blank slate watching this the first time.
Despite Morgan's best efforts to ruin the movie for me.
I want to add that, you know, this is if you're a real fan of Hitchcock, this is a really decent movie.
Yeah.
To start, if you've never seen any Hitchcock movies, this is a good one to start with.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Hitchcock. My favorite movie is North by Northwest, so that's another Hitchcock movie.
I will watch that next, Tony.
It's a good flick.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'll probably watch Dark City next.
That's fine. That's probably a better choice.
That's a more timely choice.
Yeah, Hitchcock had some really great movies, and this is, you know, probably the one he is the most famous for, if not this, The Birds.
Which there were plenty
of. He's got some really iconic scenes. You know, we have the shower from Psycho. There's a couple of scenes in North by Northwest that are really iconic, and then The Birds attacking the phone booth is very iconic from The Birds.
And crazy dudes just standing around gawking at chicks. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. Every trope in movies we see now that is parodied started here.
Yeah, yeah. And Hitchcock knew film and
was in
did memorable. He's in most of his films. He did memorable things in this film. There was stuff that people just remember and have latched on to.
And other directors have picked up on it and played homage to a lot.
Yeah, I mean, well, Gus Van Sant did a remake of...
Yes, in the 98.
Yeah, a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho, which, after having seen this, it's actually really interesting because he makes a couple of stylistic choices that we can talk about in relation to this because I mean, they're the same movie. It's a shot-for-shot remake. They even use the same, which I thought they might update, considering they made it for 98. When she gets to the point of stealing the money, she steals $40,000. She doesn't steal a larger amount. It was I figured it would be like $400,000 or, you know, something, a considerable amount of money. But no, they end up going with the same dollar amount, which...
I don't think that I'd kill someone for $40,000.
Probably not.
Well, $40,000 is nothing to sneeze at either.
True.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd kill anybody for $40,000, Daryl. I see your price is pretty low.
That's cheap.
Scoot my chair over. Get on a knife range.
I get a quarter. So I enjoy the movie. I can see that it would be hard coming into it fresh today. Because
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, because that music does it.
The music?
Yeah, that music sets the tone. And then there's
music's great.
There's so many scenes where it's just like, because you go in with the expectation, you're like, oh, it's Psycho. People have said a whole bunch of stuff about this. Even if you don't know anything about what's going to happen, you are constantly expecting something to happen. I can't imagine that even if you don't know what's going on, you're still not expecting something to happen.
Especially with a name like Psycho. Mm-hmm.
The name, the music, and then, like I said, there are just so many scenes where she's doing something, and then there are just dudes staring blankly at her. Like, that's creepy.
Well, that was the idea.
I know it was the idea, and that's why it's creepy.
Well, and Hitchcock also has this thing about women.
Yeah, he's pretty and weird policemen. With women.
What's that?
And policemen.
Yeah.
He's pretty weird about both of those things.
Yeah. Mostly women. He's got a lot of female issues.
It was the first time on film a toilet has been flushed.
Really?
Yes, IMDb is full of useless information like that.
Yeah, it was funny because we started watching it last night, and Julie was sitting down here. She's like, "Wow, she's just in a bra. That's kind of racy for 1960s,
yeah,
isn't it?"
I know.
Yeah, I've picked up on that too, especially when you see. Her lover is, he's on the bed, but he's still got both feet on the floor. It's the old Hayes rules.
Yeah,
you have to Hayes rule.
The Hayes rules were put in at the, something, it was called the Hayes Commission. Anyway, they came up with a set of rules of what you could and could not show in a movie. And one of them was that any time that a couple is on a bed, one of them has to have both feet on the floor.
What?
Yeah, I know it sounds goofy now, but... If they couldn't show anything like anything approaching sex, even though we all know what it's all about, so one character or both always, when they sit on the bed, has both feet on the floor.
That's weird.
It's weird. Yeah, it makes no sense.
When the movie opened, I was like, "Oh my god, that chick's almost naked." Melina's like, "No, she's not." And I'm like, "It's 1960, Melina. Come on."
Yep.
I can almost see inside of her.
Yeah, for 60.
For 1960.
Yeah, for 1960, I was inside of her.
You know, we were still a few years away before the new wave hit Hollywood, so.
Yeah.
Well, that was my next question. I'm like, am I going to see, like, some huge 60s bush? And she's like, no.
No.
I'm like, oh.
No.
It's so cute to see where we've come from.
Well, what killed me was they're all wearing those suits and tight-fitting dresses in Phoenix, Arizona, even in December.
Yeah, and I was like, especially at the end, I was like, where is there a swamp around there? Because that's bizarre.
Yes. There were a lot of things that were just bizarre.
Yeah. All right, so acting. Let's go through acting.
What's-His-Face was great.
Anthony Perkins?
Yeah, he was great.
Yes.
He was creepy.
Yes. Yes, he was. Janet Leigh. As Marion.
All right, Marion.
Yeah, she was the victim, our first victim.
Okay.
Girl stole the $40,000.
Yeah.
I had a hard time kind of believing her character would all of a sudden just snap like that.
That was unusual.
It was a little too fast. Even though, you know, they sit there and set the whole story up that, you know, they want to get married but can't because he's stuck paying his wife's alimony. And just all of a sudden she would make that huge...
That's what I love about that. We should get married. I'm paying my wife's alimony. Maybe we should rethink this marriage thing. Clearly it didn't work for you once. I mean, we're in a hotel room together.
In Arizona.
In Arizona. Especially since she didn't even sound real. She's like, well,
yeah,
this whole thing. This whole thing has to end. And he's like, okay. You should just come around. We'll eat dinner with my sister. All right. We should get married. Okay. Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, a little unusual.
You are on or off, lady. There's no in between.
So let's jump into the story. And I'm gonna feel pretty confident and safe in saying that no spoilers. 50 years, a movie that is considered a classic.
The Private Investigator did it.
Yeah.
That's how we'll do our new spoilers.
Damn it! Damn it, you screwed it up.
Just mislead people.
Misdirection. All right, so...
She comes back from the swamp and it's a Scooby-Doo episode.
Ro-ro.
The murder was actually committed by...
I'd have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you pesky kids.
And then Fred and Daphne are going to bang. That's how the movie ends. A hardcore pornography. It's Fred and Daphne while Shaggy, Scooby, and Velma watch.
No, you know what?
Velma. It's Velma and
Daphne.
Yeah.
Did you know why they call him Scooby Dooby? Yeah.
Velma and Daphne while
Fred and the dog.
No, Fred. Fred and Shaggy give each other the double Dutch rudder.
Oh my god.
And Scooby's like, what the hell just happened here?
Scooby's smoking out. He's cool.
It's a cool Shaggy. Oh,
man. The swamp monster watches.
Swamp monster takes very serious videos.
Wow.
Very serious movie. No humor in this movie whatsoever.
There's a little bit with the in that first scene. Well, it's the only scene that takes place in the in her office where she works.
Yeah, there was a humorous part of that
with the guy that's having lunch with her
boss.
With her boss, he comes in and he's totally hitting on her.
Totally hitting on her. Yeah, here comes the funny part.
Yeah,
then he goes into the back office. And then her ugly secretary friend comes over, and she's like, "Oh, he must have been hitting on you because he didn't see because he saw my wedding ring." I don't think that's the problem. I think he saw your face. That was the problem.
Yep. All right. So. So the first scene we see her, we've kind of alluded to it, where she's with Sam, her dude.
The dude who looks like Clark Kent.
Yeah. She's with Sam. They've obviously just finished.
Did you see her in this scene? She's wearing white bra and underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And has a white purse. This will come back later.
It's important to match.
It'll come back later.
Yeah. All right, so, she,
they have this awkward relationship.
Yeah, they've got this really weird relationship.
We're banging. I want to stop. Let's get married. Let's have dinner with my sister.
Let's just go back to getting married.
Yeah, let's just, why don't we bang again? Just like all over the place. It's like, what's going on?
So she comes back from lunch and her boss is still away at lunch.
At this point in the movie, I thought she was the psycho.
Well, that's fair. At that point, that's fair.
And a little point, her and Sam's long-distance relationship is kind of at a critical spot because while she wants to get married, Sam doesn't think he can support her because all his salary is being eaten up by his previous wife's alimony.
Right.
And he doesn't see any way out of that right now.
Yes.
This is what I love about this. Okay, so she works a job and she supports herself already, and he works and lives in a crappy place. Clearly, neither of them have a good grasp of economics.
No.
That, like, if he can support himself and she can support herself,
they'd be fine together.
Together, they would not make less money.
Except in 1960, she would be expected to stop working and have kids.
Well, I guess that's true. That's fair.
That would have been a difference in
dual incomes with no kids is still a concept that is about 20 years into the future here.
Yeah,
or 2 months.
Yeah. But by the time this episode probably gets released, it'll be a month ago.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, man, we're making bank! I'm out of debt. All right, so.
So she's at work.
She's at work.
And this bigwig that comes in with her boss is going to buy.
This bigwig was creepy, too.
Yeah.
Like, when you were picking up a chick who is substantially younger than you, showing them pics of your daughter is not the way to do that.
Yeah. I banged somebody.
Yeah, you kidding? You look just like my daughter. You want to do it?
Wait a minute. This is not how this is supposed to work.
Anyway, yeah, so he flashes up a roll of coin there that he's going to use to buy his daughter's house with. And she's asked to drop it off into the bank before the end of the day.
Well, she says she's not feeling well. She's going to go home. She's got a headache. And I might as well just take this in since I'm leaving. I can drop it off at the bank.
True.
So she leaves, takes the money, goes back to her apartment, and packs in her black bra.
Yes.
I noticed. Yes. I noticed.
After she steals the money.
Well, actually, she made the decision she's going to run.
Whatever, she still stole the money.
She's not dirty for having screwed a dude in premarital. Mm-hmm. She's dirty for stealing the money.
I liked the social commentary.
So now she has to wear the black bra.
I liked the social commentary. Although black bra was probably been hotter for the dude, just in general.
She looked better in it.
She did look better in it. She looked slimming. She was already really skinny. That was another thing I noticed. Okay, so like, you know how there's this big whole deal with anorexia now? Like,
yeah.
They're like, chicks are too skinny. This chick, pretty goddamn skinny, right? Like, I'd say that's average for Hollywood actress now.
Yeah.
But this was 1960. Like, back when people were like, oh, it didn't used to always be that way. Yeah, I'm pretty goddamn sure it used to always be that way.
Yeah, they...
You just saw a lot less skin then.
Right.
They actually probably had to be skinny because they were wearing 3 inches worth of clothing.
All right, so
we're still like 5 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, this is real, and all this happens really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was the first part of the movie, which was agonizingly slow.
Yeah, I mean, watching this movie for the first time, and I remember watching it for the first time. I'm watching this and wondering, wait a minute, am I watching the right movie?
Yeah,
because I know that something's supposed to happen at the Bates Motel with the shower and. This is bearing no resemblance to what I think this movie is supposed to be about.
This is becoming a crime drama.
Yeah, it's a heist flick.
Watching Leverage.
Yeah. Exactly.
The plan is really simple. That guy gave me $40,000.
It is not complex.
And I just took it. And since we don't have the internet, it will be hard for them to find me.
So she's now on the run.
She is on the run.
And she's driving, and she's a crazy woman driver. And then her boss sees her.
And the music. Oh, yeah, her boss sees her on the way out of town. And he, like, waves to her, and then he's like, wait a minute.
Did she go home
sick?
What a bitch. And she changed?
All right, so she leaves town, and she's driving. And
like, so you can tell that she's really paranoid. This is the point where she's, like, really paranoid.
And this is where they really start. This is where the music starts.
This is where the music starts. So she's got the close-up on her face, and she's paranoid. But then, like, so if you start to deconstruct all the reasons she's paranoid, like, okay, so she just took the money, and her boss saw her in her car. But there's no relationship between those two things.
No.
Like, none whatsoever.
No.
So the only thing she's doing is just projecting random fears, which made it hard for me to identify with her because she wasn't thinking rationally, which bothered me.
Well, she was playing out conversations too in her head, which they did in a clever way.
Yeah.
With the voiceovers, mm-hmm. where the actors were actually having what seemed to be a reasonable conversation. Oh, where is she? She's not here. It's Monday. She's not here. Where
is
she?
She's always late on Mondays.
Yeah. So she drives so far, she's tired. She pulls off the road and lays her head down. And is awoken the next morning by a police officer.
By a creepy cop.
And this sends her paranoia into overdrive.
No. Okay. At this point, I think
she starts acting really suspicious, too.
Which I think is fair.
Yeah.
I mean, because she's in the middle of nowhere and some dude just approached her. Albeit as a
wearing
cop.
Dark sunglasses.
Yeah, wearing dark sunglasses. And maybe he stole some money, too.
Maybe.
So their conversation is weird. Then she starts driving away, and then he follows her. This is where it starts to get creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, so he follows her for a long time, then he pulls off, and then she's like, I need to get a new car. That's fair.
That's reasonable.
That's reasonable.
She makes this is, the leverage plan is still in effect. This is reasonable planning.
This is a reasonable move. So thus begins this awkward car transaction where I'm like, I don't even know how this would play out. I want a new car now.
Yeah.
So in the span of 10 minutes, she gets a new car. All the while, the cop pulls over on the other side of the road
and is watching,
standing her. There, watching her.
I can imagine seeing this movie for the first time and having, you know, not having the internet to have spoiled it for you, and just knowing the movie's called Psycho.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this creepy cop.
Yeah.
Is following her.
That's what I thought.
Is this the Psycho?
That's what I thought. I thought the cop was in on it now. That, like, somehow there was going to be some grand... The problem was is that I knew that there was a shower involved at some point. And so as the story kind of honed in on a shower, I got, like, crazier and crazier devices to get me into the shower scene.
The cop is going to follow her to the hotel and get her in the shower.
Yeah, oh, maybe there's not even a shower. Maybe there's just a shower curtain and some water. I mean...
Yeah, anyway, she starts getting more and more paranoid.
Which is fair.
And she's starting to get really, really nervous. She's trying to buy this car, and of course, a super salesman here is trying to... He's kind of surprised, because usually he's the one doing the high pressure, and she's doing high pressure on him.
Yeah.
And she's just anxious to get the hell out of there and get away from Deputy Dog there standing across the road.
Deputy Dog. Proceed.
Yeah, one cool thing about this movie is that all the characters are written fairly intelligently. Mm-hmm. When something unusual happens, they point it out. It's really weird that you're giving me the high-pressure sales pitch here, lady.
Yeah.
And he flat-out says it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it comes up later in the movie, too. Yeah, this never happens this way. And we'll get to that later, but... So, he's suspicious of the woman, but he ends up...
He wants to make the sale.
He makes the sale. He ends up getting $700 in a different car, and then sells her that one. So she's on her way.
Evaluation process. Yeah, it looks about equal.
Yeah.
It looks about 700 less than that car over there. Great.
Win.
You need a calculator for that math over there, Captain?
This is pre-internet, baby.
Yeah.
Pre-calculator.
Test drive it, because I want to make sure that you don't say anything bad.
About me.
Nope. I'm not going to. I just want to go now.
Here's money. Give me the car and let me go.
Yeah, she pulls out
Before she's able to get out of the lot, they stop her because she left all her crap in the other car.
She had what was important.
Yeah, the money.
Yeah. And before she's able to get out of the lot, a bunch of dudes standing around staring at her creepily.
Yep.
Great. Bunch of creepers.
All right, so she's driving again. And it begins to rain, and it's night. And she comes upon a hotel. A motel. The Bates Motel.
The Master Bates Motel.
Indeed.
12 vacancies.
Movie ends.
So you were the psycho for paying to watch this movie.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the joke. Just a big fat shot of Hitchcock going, gotcha.
Got your money!
So she pulls into the Bates Motel, and as she's still pouring down rain, she's glancing up at the creepy house on the hill.
Yep.
Above it. And this is where we get our first iconic shot of the light in the window with the, which we later find out who it is, but they walk through the light.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we get our first introduction to Norman Bates. She ends up renting a room. There's a couple of clever little things that's done, and he goes at first and reaches for, like, room number 3, but then stops and pulls key number 1 so that she can have the room right next to the
office
because he's got a peephole built in. He ends up talking to her a little bit, trying to get a little bit more out of her, trying to be commune friendly with her a little bit. Yeah, just be friendly. And
there's a tag that AS.
He does. He really does want to.
Yeah,
believe me. Well, they'll tell us that later.
Yes, and they do explicitly tell us that later.
The sense of unease that Norman is a little unsure of himself around women, mainly around people too.
Yeah, he's a little awkward.
And he mentions that essentially, you know, the motel since the highway came through has been, you know, falling hard times, so they haven't really seen a whole lot of customers. And here's this huge house sitting up on the hill, and only Norman and Mother live there. And we get our first taste of Mother when he invites her over for dinner. And as she's changing in her room, she can hear the argument between Norman and Mother. And Mother is
through the storm up the hill inside that house. She heard the argument.
Right. Well, it was pretty loud because Mother shouts pretty much at the top of her lungs at Norman about what's on his mind.
Yes.
That he's just trying to get into her pants.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to the argument, and she won't have her anywhere near the house. So Norman brings dinner down.
Yes.
Laced with Spanish fly. He knows what he's doing.
And he gives her dinner and watches her eat. Mm-hmm. I'm not hungry. You eat.
That was weird.
Then he explains about the taxidermy.
Right. He invites her into the parlor. Mm-hmm. And he walks them into my parlor, said the spider. It happens to be, you know, the way it's lit, all these bird mountings.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman explains that, you know, his hobby is taxidermy of birds.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it sets a rather creepy stage right there.
Because, you mean like a bird?
Yes.
That's not weird to say to anybody.
Especially with all these stuffed birds here.
Yeah, let me say that again. Great.
Yeah. Norman is very awkward.
The first portion of this movie was so slow.
Norman is very awkward. Yeah, Norman is very awkward. Very much reminiscent of about 3/4 of the people that come to Archon.
That's very true.
Just a little socially inept.
I like when he lies. Yeah. Come on.
So we learn a couple of things about Norman through the course of the conversation. He is overly attached to his mother. Boy's best friend is his mother.
That's not creepy to say either.
No.
Say that some more.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
That's also not creepy to say. Say that some more.
Let's see. There's probably one or two others in there.
This is what I want to hear from somebody I just met.
Yeah.
And knows where I'm sleeping and I'm alone.
And we're the seemingly only two people around.
And I'm carrying a large amount of cash.
Because there are no other people staying in the hotel.
And it's 1960 and I'm a woman, so I'm still treated like a second class citizen anyway.
Right.
Great.
And I'm carrying a large amount of unregistered cash.
Yes. All right, so
and no one knows where I am.
She goes to her room. And she starts getting changed.
She does the math first.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She does the math. She's figuring out how much money she's spent, how much she's still got, yada, yada.
Is this where she decides she's going to go back? Did I make that up? I thought at some point she decided that she was going to go back and face the music.
I don't know. I think that's kind of implied. I mean, she's kind of waffling over stuff.
I think she says that at some point. With Norman, she's like, you know, I think it's time that I go back and kind of solve the problems I made from... Go back into the trap and solve my own problem.
Well, and realistically, all she's only spent...
700.
700 of it.
710.
Well, yeah, because the room.
The hotel room. I think at this point, her bra and panties changed color, too.
Maybe.
I think it changed back.
Attention. So Norman's watching her through the peephole. This is where the remake and this version differ, because Vince Vaughn plays Norman Bates.
No,
yes,
that's
awesome. In the remake.
That's good.
but he plays it very not Vince Vaughn. So
really?
it's a good performance for him. While he's watching through the peephole, the Vince Vaughn version, he is obviously masturbating.
Cool.
I mean, obviously masturbating. You see the exact same shot of him with his eye to there, and it's paused there, but he's doing one of these, you know?
That's good. That's good stuff.
And there's an implication that he was aroused by it.
There's no implication. It's explicitly stated later.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Over and over and over again.
In the Gus Van Zandt version, it's stated right there for you to see.
It's dripping down the wall.
So, yes. So then he goes back and has a crisis of conscience. Mother finds out, and while Marion is in the shower, Mother comes in and kilts her.
I was hoping that this would end in hot lesbian action, but 1960 did not bring me hot lesbian action.
Well, this was the first big iconic scene that everybody zeroes in on in Psycho.
Yes, this is the second part of the movie right here. The shower scene is the second part, the full second part.
Yeah, this is where the heist movie that we've been watching up to this point
ends.
Because, you know what? The main character is no more.
Yes.
The main character of our story has now changed.
Yeah.
So.
And so for that 5-minute scene with the shower and then the cleanup, really pretty much just the murder.
It's
part two of the movie. Now it's a murder movie!
Right.
And then there was the cleanup.
So Norman finds out. Norman realizes Mother has done something, and he goes in and cleans up.
Yeah.
And
awkwardly.
Yeah.
Like, brings the body out to the car and just leaves the trunk open. Hey, okay, it's a deserted hotel. Nobody comes by here that often, but
still.
Really?
Yeah. So
he, not even going to make an effort?
He does that. He ends up putting the car into the swamp. Cleans up.
It's like the swamp was the best character in the movie, because all he did was feed it. It's like the plant from Little Shop of Horrors.
Feed me, Norman. Feed me.
And he does.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Lots.
All right. So Norman cleans up the mess that Mother left. Cleans the blood up. Cleans everything up in the room.
Also, ridiculously long cleanup scene. It's like, yeah, this is a lot of detail. Could have been glazed over.
I think there's a good reason for it. I think the reason for it is to show that it was Norman cleaning it up for
it's
Mother.
Fine.
Cleaning up after Mother.
He's not crazed out.
Yeah. So, in the interim, we get the idea that they found out that Marion is missing with the money. The big wig hires a private investigator.
Yes.
And cutting through the BS, the investigator has come to this road leading to the Bates Motel. He's been checking motels in the area.
That's not really how it happens. He follows her sister. Her sister knows about her lover in town.
Oh, that's right.
Then she goes to see the lover, and then the guy's like, I followed you the whole time, bitch.
Yeah,
and she's
that's
like,
right.
I don't even know who you are. That's how I can follow you. Yeah, the PI was actually probably the best character.
Yeah, the PI was pretty good.
I'm going to go check out the hotels while you guys sit here and do nothing.
Yeah.
So then he goes and does that and pushes the plot forward.
Yeah, he finds out some information. Well, he finds out that Marion did stay at the Bates Motel.
Yep.
Under an assumed name.
Yep.
And he believes that Mother probably talked to her.
This is where the PI character falls apart. Because that guy is obviously not a moron.
Right.
And Norman Bates is obviously lying and awkward.
Right. Well, and he realizes that, but he kind of narrows it down to, yeah, I think the mother knows something. Because he's doing a lot of misdirection around the mother. He kept saying that the house was empty when there was obviously someone there. No, you can't talk to her right now. All that good stuff.
Yeah. So, He leaves, he calls the other two, and he's like, hey, my day was productive, what'd you guys do? Oh, you sat around and did nothing. Well, here's some answers. Yes, she stayed here, that guy's weird, I'm going to go back and try to talk to the mother.
Right.
So then he goes back and tries to talk to the mother, which ends in a stabbing and a ridiculous stair-falling sequence.
If I'm not mistaken, the detective in the Gus Van Sant version was William H. Macy.
That's cool.
And that ridiculous falling down the stairs sequence...
Same thing?
...happened the exact same way.
It's so ridiculous, because it's like he's standing straight at the top of the steps... And he goes to a 45-degree angle.
And falls at a 45-degree angle down the steps.
That was awesome. I was like, that is... The stair fall is the master... That's where the masterpiece of this movie becomes.
Yes. Yes.
Hitchcock warped physics around this fall. I am in.
I don't know. I kind of believe that the guy was stumbling down the stairs. Catching himself as he fell.
I don't think that's really how it happened either.
So now the detective goes missing.
And is fed to the swamp. And then Clark Kent decides, well, I'm going to go after him. It's been 3 hours.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a cell phone. So he goes there, he calls out for the guy's name, and then he leaves. He goes back to the chick, and he's like, I'm mostly worthless and got nothing out of my trip there.
So they go back as a couple.
They go to the sheriff.
They go to the sheriff.
Sheriff doesn't believe
that's
him.
That's true. Well, they go to the sheriff. Then they go to somebody else.
Sheriff gives him a little bit of a nugget, though. No, they see the sheriff twice.
Well, who's the couple that they talk to? The older couple that they talk to?
That's the sheriff.
Is that the sheriff and his wife?
Yeah, church. Okay.
Yeah.
The sheriff gives him the nugget, though, where he's like, his mom doesn't live there. She's been dead for 10 years.
Right. Well, that's where that conversation takes place. And because the woman even says, I helped dress her for the burial.
Yeah, but that's at their house.
Right.
So they call. And the next morning, do they go there first? For some reason, they go back to the church and they go to the old couple. And they're like, hey, you going to do anything about this? And the guy's like, no. Go away.
Right.
Like, leave me alone. Have you had breakfast? So that's... how they decide to go.
Yeah, they're going to go investigate on their own now.
Sure. Okay. So then they do a little bit of investigation poorly.
Yeah, the other sequence where I was talking about before where they're checking in to the hotel and they're like, "Yeah, we want a room." Okay, here's a room.
Yeah, here's a room.
Like, don't you even want a deposit?
Do you want to pay or anything?
Yeah. So,
I guess
give me $10. So let's see. They check into their room, then they decide they're going to go investigate.
Yeah,
and they're going to go check out the house. Well, the guy
Clark Kent,
Sam Kent.
Sam Kent.
It was Clark's brother.
Yeah.
The not so strong one.
Yeah, he was the weaker, kind of uglier weenie. Brother. It's like twins. He's Danny DeVito. By the way, if you're not watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Danny DeVito is brilliant in that show.
You know what? I have not seen that.
He is so disgusting and awesome.
So he distracts Norman while Marion's sister goes and checks out the house.
Yes.
And she goes upstairs and doesn't see anything. Well, we know that Norman has, through the course of this, Norman has hidden his mother... in the fruit cellar. And she's pissed. She does not want to be hidden in the fruit cellar. Marion's sister goes up to the room, looks around, and there's like this weird imprint in the bed.
That was very weird.
That was very unusual.
That's not right.
Yeah, she looks outside and sees Norman coming up. What we saw before that was that Sam kind of called him out, and Norman whacked him on the head, knocked him out, and ran up to the house.
See, yeah, Clark Kent had one job, and it was to keep this guy from going to the house, and he couldn't even do that right.
No.
This guy was pretty worthless.
So Sam's
knocked out. Norman runs up. Marion's sister, I don't even remember her name.
Leah?
Lily kind of runs halfway down to the basement just to kind of hide herself. As Norman runs upstairs, she sees something downstairs and goes down.
And then it turns into an episode of Bones.
She walks in, and Mother's standing there. She touches this again, Hitchcockian physics. A touch on the arm leads this thing to rotate a full 180 degrees.
And stare you in the face
of these sunken eye sockets and this zombified face of Mother. Mother's been dead the whole time, which we knew earlier, but now we're seeing.
Now we have the confirmation.
Well, and really, the question that the police posed was, well, if Mother's there, who did we bury?
Yeah, that was not the conclusion I would have jumped to.
Yeah, that was the conclusion they jumped to. So even there's misdirection in the story. Well, Mother's still alive. We've heard Mother having these conversations. So yeah, that is Mother. Then who is buried in the cemetery in the periwinkle dress?
Yeah. So then this is the worst part of the movie. Okay, so this is what happens. A guy auditions for this movie. And he gets this, like, minor monologue. But this guy has been trying to get into acting for 50 years. All right? And so this guy takes his minor role in the movie.
He makes
so serious. It's like, the movie could not have existed without this guy just telling you every minor detail about the movie. And he does it for 20 minutes.
To be fair, it's 5.
It's too goddamn long.
Yeah, so,
and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so...
And he gets really into it.
So, yeah, he explains in great detail the whole plot of the movie that you just saw.
Yeah, I just saw this, dude.
All right, so... And it turns out that, yeah, Norman cracked. Norman's mother was the psycho. Well, Norman's mother was kind of nuts and made him nuts, and he was the real psycho. He apparently killed his mother and her lover, and then was institutionalized.
And then got out.
And
what was still crazy.
Right.
And then dug up his mom.
Yeah, dug up his mom and...
taxidermed her.
Yeah. And then was going to use the... And they thought what he was going to do was use the money to escape.
Well, but he didn't even know about the money.
He didn't even know about the money. That was never even...
Where's
part
the
of
money?
That.
The swamp?
Yeah.
Go get it.
And then the great ending scene is of the car being pulled out of the swamp.
The great ending scene is when they zoom in on his face and he's crazy looking.
Yeah. So there were a couple of sequels to this also.
I heard.
2, 3, and 4. Four was actually interesting.
Tell me.
4 was interesting because it was a prequel.
What?
It went back and kind of explained how he got as nuts as he did. How Mother just psychologically abused him to make him that way. So that was actually kind of interesting.
I would be out for most of these movies.
That's fair.
That seems safe.
So, all in all, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well, even though I thought I would not.
I wasn't unsure of how you...
In 1960, I would have thought this movie was banging.
That's fair.
No, it was first, we might say, one of the modern horror films.
It was also probably the first with as much skullduggery, where they intentionally mislead you.
There's a lot of intentional misdirection.
Well, that's a Hitchcock trademark.
Yeah,
is all is leave misdirections, MacGuffins, everything all over the place, and pull them back at the end.
Yeah,
beat you with red herrings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with it.
Mm, he does it. He does it. He does it well.
He does it well, and it holds up for 50 years.
Yeah,
except for that hair. So much, oh my God!
So much so that everybody else copies bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Of it.
Hey, if it works, steal it.
Yeah, now, the one bit of trivia that I know about the movie, without IMDb-ing it, is that Janet Leigh, for decades, did not take a shower after this movie.
Whoa.
Yeah. it messed with her. After having seen this, watched the scene play out, yeah. And the blood was dyed corn syrup.
Did you know she was bald in the entire movie?
Really? No, I did not.
She was in another movie at the same time that had required her to shave her head, so she wore a wig the entire time.
I believe it.
And one other little piece of trivia there. One of the co-writers, well, of the screenplay, Joseph Stefano, he went on later to do all the Outer Limits episodes. Or he was the main, executive producer of the original Outer Limits.
That makes sense.
And, of course, the whole story is based on the Robert Bloch novel.
Yeah, that was a novel.
Which won a Hugo back in the time it was written, the 60s.
That's cool.
You can check that for me, but I think Robert Bloch, actually, he was at Archon in one of the early 70 or 80.
Well, that's cool.
He was a guest monitor then. Again, I can check that, but I do remember seeing his name mentioned there somewhere.
Archon's been around for 40 years.
76 was the first one.
Oh, man.
No, excuse me. 75.
This is the 34th?
Mm-hmm.
35th?
35th? Is it? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. 35th, okay.
And there was a bunch before then that was called Kozarkakon that went through the 60s.
As long as it isn't, when was that, right? Nasvik.
Nasvik, oh yeah.
That sucked.
Nasvik was a different crowd.
It was a different crowd. It was not the I get drunk and puke and fight crowd. Just like my top three goals, like an Archon. Maybe not the fighting. Mostly the drinking and the puking.
Seeing the people strip out in the courtyard showing off tattoos.
And genitals.
I did get to see Rob's balls at Archon.
I saw Rob's balls. My buddy Walker was there. I saw his penis again. I see a lot of dick at this convention.
That's not what you want to see.
No. Seems like I'm doing it wrong.
But,
it
like you keep advertising that because it'll bring women to the con.
Yeah. It seems like I got the quantity I want.
You want to get some action?
It seems like I got the quantity. I just need to flip, like, the gender. If I got the
gender switch, is
then I can walk around with, like, a cane and stuff and be in charge.
I got a pimp hat upstairs.
Yeah, well. All right, I'm done here.
All right.
I'm tired.
So,
and
yeah.
I'm itchy.
That sounds like a personal problem.
I don't know what's wrong with me, man, but I itch.
You got the cooties.
Did you take any medicine? Got the HIV.
No.
You're dehydrated. Your skin is dry.
I don't think that's it.
Take any Aleves?
No.
I'm making shit up.
I don't take drugs. Scroll needs an agent to coordinate appearances. That's good.
That's double good. Booked, one for each ball.
That's good. I'm out.